Hello and welcome to this video session. Today we'll be talking about configuring network switches in Microsoft Cloud Platform System using PowerShell desired state configuration. So we'll start with a brief introduction to DSC or desired state configuration framework and CPS network architecture. Then we'll explore what are the configurations required on a CPS switch and how a CPS network switch can be configured using desired state configuration. Finally, we'll also see how configuration drifts can be auto-corrected and network can heal itself using DSC infrastructure. So what is PowerShell DSC? Let's talk a bit about desired state configuration and what are the various stages involved and how it is used for network device management. DSC stands for desired state configuration. Windows PowerShell desired state configuration provides a configuration platform built into Windows that is based on open standards. DSC introduces a very simple declarative syntax into PowerShell language and a built-in engine that receives and applies the configuration. User describes desired state of the environment by using this new declarative syntax and then distribute it to each target node in your environment where it is applied. After the configuration is delivered and applied, it can be used to correct the configuration drift when it has occurred or just report the configuration drift. So why should you be using DSC for network switch configuration? Here are a few reasons. DSC is designed to support continuous deployments, which means that you can deploy your configuration over and over without breaking anything. In other words, you can apply the same configuration again and again to the network device without causing any side effects on the network. Using DSC, you can prevent configuration drift on your network devices, and network can automatically remediate itself by reverting to the desired configuration without any user intervention. DSC is PowerShell based, so you can use your existing PowerShell skills to deploy, operate, and troubleshoot network devices. Network devices can also now be configured as part of your PowerShell workflows. A DSC configuration, once created, can be applied to any compliant device, irrespective of its vendor, model, or version of the device. Thus, a DSC configuration used to configure a compliant Dell 410 switch can be used to configure a compliant Cisco switch without any modifications. Using DSC, you can separate out imperative logic from the configuration data. You simply state the desired state configuration without worrying about the nuances of individual device configuration and behavior. Those of you who have used DSC framework before would know that it can be used for configuring Windows servers. Now let's see how the same framework can also be used to configure network switches. So first step is authoring step. In this step, you declaratively specify the network switch configuration as a PowerShell configuration object. If you want to create templates of configuration, you can pass parameters to the configuration object so that you generate different configurations for different devices. Also, this configuration will work against any compliant device, irrespective of the device vendor or model. Because you are expressing the configuration in PowerShell language and you do not need to specify any device specific CLI or API in this configuration. Next step is staging. In this step, you will use DSC PowerShell commandlets to create meta object files out of the configuration object that we specified in authoring phase, and the meta object files will be stored on a DSC server. In the third and the final step, the meta object files are pushed to the device, or alternatively, these can be pulled by the device from a DSC server. And this phase is known as make it so phase. And the local configuration manager, which is supplied by the vendor of the device and sits on the device itself, applies the meta object files locally to the device. So since local configuration manager is supplied by the switch manufacturer itself. It knows how to interpret the meta object files and apply them to the local device. Here is a list of capabilities that you can be configured on a network switch using our DSC schema. As you can see, we pretty much cover BGP, VRF, VLAN, ACL, LLDP, and Ethernet port configurations. So almost all the configuration that you would require in your day-to-day switch management is covered here. So far we discussed what is DSC and how it can be used to configure network devices. Now let's take a brief look at Microsoft Cloud Platform System and its network architecture. Microsoft Cloud Platform System, or CPS, is an Azure consistent cloud-in-a-box solution enabling organizations and service providers to deliver cloud capacity to their users. CPS is fully integrated and pre-configured system of Microsoft software and Dell hardware with a Microsoft-led support experience. Here's a quick look at CPS stack. At the very bottom of this stack, you'll find Dell hardware, including Dell networking switches. Virtualization is provided by Windows Server Hyper-V and Windows Server Hyper-V Network Virtualization. On the storage side, we have Windows Server SMB 3.0. The management layer consists of System Center, Virtual Machine Manager, and other System Center products. Windows Azure PAC provides service management APIs so that you can develop the tenant portals or server administrative portals on top of this stack. Each CPS stamp consists of up to 4 racks. Each rack has 32 compute nodes and 5 network switches. A total of 8 terabytes of usable RAM is available on each rack. 282 terabytes of usable disk space is available on a rack. And up to 2000 virtual machines are supported on each rack of CPS. And in this video, we'll be specifically focusing on configuring the Dell networking switches in CPS using the desired state configuration. So what does CPS network look like? Let's take a look at the CPS network architecture so that we can understand what is the configuration required on the switches. So a CPS system consists of up to 4 racks. Here we have displayed a 2-rack system. As you can see, there are 5 switches on each rack. A CPS stamp has 2 physical networks. One is a data center network and other is a tenant network. The data center network is portrayed by red lines and the tenant network is portrayed by blue lines. So each of these networks on a rack comprises of 2 switches for redundancy purposes. And then we have aggregate switches which connect to all these switches and provide routing across racks. So there's 1 aggregate switch for each rack, and aggregate switch is connected to every other switch on the rack as well as every other switch on other racks. So aggregate switches use BGP as the routing protocol. We also have 2 data center switches for redundancy purposes. These switches are operating as layer 2 devices for downlinks towards hosts and layer 3 devices for uplinks towards aggregate switches. In other words, they are switching on downlinks and routing on uplinks. And again, the routing protocol used is BGP. Each data center switch is connected to the aggregate switch on top of the rack, as well as the aggregate switches of all other racks. Similarly, the tenant network side, we have 2 access switches for redundancy purposes. And these switches are operating as layer 2 devices on downlinks towards hosts and as layer 3 devices on uplinks towards the aggregate switches. Each tenant switch is connected to the aggregate switch on top of the rack as well as every other aggregate switch. So this was a brief projection of the CPS network architecture. Now let's have a look at what switch configuration is required for a CPS aggregate switch. So first up, we'll require some global configuration, which includes things like hostname, NTP server, SNMP server, and other stuff. Then we have to enable or disable certain protocols or capabilities on this switch. So we'll be enabling LLDP, SNMP, SSH, LACP, etc. We might want to disable spanning tree protocols on these devices. Next, we want to configure the interfaces on these devices. These include enabling the switch ports, configuring LACP and LLDP settings on these switch ports, creating port channels for bandwidth aggregation, assigning IP addresses to these interfaces, configuring virtual software interfaces like loopbacks and VLAN interfaces. Then we have to configure the BGP router on the aggregate switches. So we have to configure an ASN number for the BGP router. We have to also set up the peering relationships and neighbors of this BGP router. We have to configure various route maps so that we are able to control the route distribution. We have to configure the networks that will be announced by this BGP router. We can also configure certain static routes on these switches. Finally, we have to configure the VLANs on these switches and assign IP addresses to these VLANs. Let's see how this configuration will be performed on the device using DSC. The first step is to express this configuration as a PowerShell object. So once we get this configuration as a PowerShell object, this will be converted into meta object files. That is step 2. So using DSC PowerShell commandlets, we'll create meta object files and host these on our DSC servers. The third step is that these mock files are hosted on a DSC server and then pushed onto a device, or alternatively, these can be pulled by the device from the DSC server. And finally, the local configuration manager on the device applies the configuration onto the device. So it receives meta object files from the DSC server and interprets them and applies them on the local device. So far we saw how PowerShell DSC can be used to configure network devices. Now let's see what happens in case the configuration on the device changes and goes out of the desired state. This may happen because of a mistake by the administrator or because of switch reboots or firmware upgrades or any other such situation which causes change on the device configuration. The local configuration manager monitors the device configuration and any drift is automatically corrected. Now, if the configuration drifts from desired state to some incorrect state, the LCM detects this drift and using the mock files or the configuration store that it already has, it corrects the configuration and brings it back into desired state. So no user intervention is required in this process and the network can automatically remediate the configuration problems. So that's all I have for you today. Thank you.